No, it's when you guys are interrupting and you guys heard the rules when you got here. Did you not hear them? When you interrupt the council's discussion, that robs everybody else of the opportunity to hear what's going on. So please don't do it. Excuse me. Excuse me. Well, they're interrupting you because you brought your spotlight again, didn't you? Yeah, please turn it off. Thank you. All right. We're back in session.
Saltzman.
Well, I want to, first of all, I want to associate myself with many of the remarks my colleagues just made about the state of affairs in our country, in our city right now, and the predominance of alt-right and hate groups. But I come down on this very differently. First of all, I'm no lawyer. I'll leave the legal arguments to the lawyers to decide, but I look at it from a simple matter of how do we best protect Portlanders. And I think in many respects, we all fully respect everybody's right to protest and exercise their rights to free speech. But there's also a public safety factor, as Mayor Wheeler's proposed ordinance does, and that is to provide the mayor the ability to say, do your protests, but do it a block away from each other. So you're not provoking, goading one another. And to the extent that that happens, the Patriot prayer and Proud Boys, they're playing us like a fiddle. They know they can come down to Portland because they know they can provoke the response, and they know that they can ultimately, the police, to my mind, are often just caught in the middle. And they get provoked too. I mean, they're only human. If you insult somebody, throw something at them, they're going to respond like any human would. They're going to try to protect themselves. They're going to be angry. These are very fundamental, basic human emotions. But I think that, we have too much goading and we're being played like a fiddle. And, I can't help but think that this week is the 80th anniversary of the Kristallnacht, the night the Nazis played the German people like a fiddle to unleash their fury on Jewish merchants and Jewish residents of their country. And these groups are doing that to us. And I think we need a strong step forward. I think Mayor Wheeler's proposed ordinance, it may not be it may not be constitutional, but we need to try things. We need to try solutions. We can't just sit up here and celebrate the First Amendment and say, and at the same time express our concerns about the predominance of the alt-right and hate groups without trying to do something about it and protect Portlanders from getting into situations where they are going to be hurt, maimed, God forbid, even killed. And I see that the current path we're on provides no answers. This is a proposed answer. It's a modest step to protect Portlanders. And I thank Mayor Wheeler and Chief Outlaw for bringing this forward. And I'm pleased to vote aye.
Wheeler.
So obviously, anybody here who can count knows that this is over, but there's a few things I'd like to say nonetheless. First of all, I'd like to start with this. The ordinance, the very first sentence of the ordinance was a reaffirmation of this council's commitment to First Amendment rights, to this council's commitment to the right to assembly and the right to speak one's mind, even if what is being said is considered reprehensible. That was first and foremost in our minds. So those who say that this is an abridgment of the First Amendment, I want you to know that's certainly not my intention, and that was never my intention. There are two people in this city who are routinely held accountable for violence on the streets, and both of them are sitting in this chamber, Chief Outlaw and myself as the police commissioner. And it is our responsibility to maintain the public safety during demonstrations. And the safety includes those who are demonstrating and those who are counter-demonstrating. And we have seen many instances where people who are peacefully assembled get caught up in a violent situation with an opposing group. And that is the kind of thing we don't want to see happen, because it actually dampens people's enthusiasm for showing up and being heard. Nobody wants to be put at risk. I asked for this tool as an additional tool. And I was a little surprised by some of the testimony. You said, well, if you do this, that means you're not doing that. No, we're going to do a lot of different things. We're going to continue to enforce the laws with the tools and the resources that we have available. Second of all, we're going to continue to set clear expectations around protests. And you've heard me say the mantra over and over again, don't block the regional transit system. Don't go on the bridges. Don't commit acts of violence or vandalism. Those things are unacceptable. And there is no circumstance where violence is a justifiable means to a political end. And we've made that very, very clear. If we're going to enforce the laws, and I heard from a number of the constitutional attorneys who came up, and by the way, I hope you appreciated the fact I didn't try to run the table. We invited the ACLU and others to come up and speak in opposition, freely speak in opposition for as long as they wanted to, against the ordinance that I was proposing, because I really wanted us to take a deep dive, and I wanted us to hear the different nuances around constitutionality and the law. And what I heard repeatedly is, you need to enforce the laws that you have on the books. Great. If we're going to do that, though, I hope we're committed to giving the police bureau the resources, the personnel, the tools, and the training that they need to be able to do that safely. And you heard Chief Outlaw testify that even during that last significant protest, she made the decision, or her commanders, her command staff made the decision to pull in resources from North and East Portland. That meant people who are paying their taxes in the city, who expect a certain police response, did not get it because all of our resources were deployed downtown. And she said, as a law professional, a law enforcement professional, with several decades of experience, that she believed this ordinance would actually reduce the need for arrests by clarifying in advance what the rules are, not abridging people's First Amendment rights, but keeping people separated within a reasonable distance so they could still hear each other, they could still interact, but there would be less of an opportunity for people to commit acts of violence. This ordinance, despite what I read in the paper, I was a little surprised to read a couple of times that it gives broad authority to the mayor around crowd control. In fact, it was a very narrowly tailored ordinance, and I hope at some point, for those of you who didn't actually, and a lot of times people don't want to wade through an ordinance, I totally get that, but read it. It's actually very narrowly prescribed, and it explains very specific circumstances where the ordinance could be implemented, and it required an unprecedented level of transparency before the ordinance could be enacted. I thought this was a very reasonable preemptive tool to have in our toolkit along with other, other tools that we have. Other cities have successfully defended time, place, and manner restrictions in court. We heard a lot on the constitutionality, and like Commissioner Saltzman, I am not a constitutional lawyer, but I will tell you, constitutional lawyers are divided on the constitutionality of this particular ordinance. It maybe came a little bit too late in the game to help shape the narrative. I've learned one thing, colleagues, from this. If you put an ordinance out there and there's any question about its legality, make sure your lawyers get to the media first. Because once that frame is set, it is very, very hard to turn that frame around. And I wondered why people were jumping before they'd even seen the final version of the ordinance and expressing their complete confidence that the ordinance was unconstitutional, having not actually read all of the details in the ordinance. And now I know why. It is nearly impossible to turn that narrative. But there was somebody who did chime in near the end, and I want you to know who she was. Her name is Mary McCord. She is the senior litigator for the Institute for Constitutional Advocacy and Protection. She is a professor at Georgetown University's Law Center. She was the one
who led the successful litigation that we heard a lot about on behalf of the city of Charlottesville and local small businesses and neighborhood associations against the alt-right, white nationalists, and militia organizations and individuals who engaged in paramilitary activity after the August 2017 Unite the Right rally. She said, number one, the ordinance on its face is constitutional. She agreed with our city attorney and disagreed with some of the testimony that we heard last week. She said, on its face, the ordinance is constitutional. The second thing she said was that there are other legal strategies that we could pursue in addition to this ordinance. And we had a couple of very good conversations, and we heard some testimony around some potential other legal strategies. We heard about educational strategies, training, litigation. All of these things were ultimately included in the ordinance, and I appreciate that. There were concerns about the mayor, in this case, actually the police commissioner per the ordinance, being able to put into place time, place, and manner restrictions, recently referred to how, when, and where a group could protest. Colleagues, we already do that. When you file for a permit with the city of Portland, you are already agreeing to a time, place, and manner restriction. The difference is we know how many police are needed. We know where they are needed. We know if there's conflicts with other events that are taking place. Commissioner Fritz raised a great question last week, and I don't think it was very well stated in the ordinance, and I want to clarify this. The number of people. People said, well, you know, is Ted going to say only 100 people can show up for a demonstration? Number one, it would be stricken down as unreasonable on its face if it was a large public space. But we already have restrictions on the number of people. If you file for a permit and you want to be in a park block and you say, I want 10,000 people in a park block, we're going to tell you no. We're going to suggest a different location, maybe Waterfront Park, where more people could congregate safely and also not damage the facilities that we have. This ordinance only impacted those who choose not to apply for a permit. I want to be very clear. It would have put non-permitted demonstrations on the same footing with permitted demonstrations under very limited circumstances where we knew two or more groups with either a history of violence or a stated intent of violence were coming together. So where does this leave us? This was an approach the chief and I thought could help address what we saw as a potentially escalating situation in our community. We put it out there. It has not carried the day. We are still interested in doing something more than the status quo because the status quo is clearly not working for our community. While we are very concerned about the rights of protesters and counter-protesters, we are also concerned about the rights of everybody else who works and lives in this community and who are increasingly troubled by what they are seeing unfold on the streets of this community. I heard a lot of people at the microphone say last week, we have different approaches, we have new approaches. I hope they mean something other than a two-year-long conversation about the general state of policing. We have plenty of tables already focused on police reform. We already have our directives on crowd control that have been out there to the public. We already have a lot of conversations going about best policing practice, 21st century policing, community policing, the use of technology like body cams around policing. Those conversations are ongoing. But if we have more to say on this immediate issue, this urgent issue that is unfolding on our streets today, I'll continue to work with anybody who has a good idea. Last but not least, I read in my Willamette Week this morning, Bobin Singh said something, and I have to call it out because I believe he mischaracterized the meeting that my staff and I had with him. He did offer three good ideas around policing. His first idea was that we educate public employees, we educate the community, and we educate the media about the alt-right in our community. I'm all for education. The second thing, I told him I'm not supportive of it. It was a whole slew of ideas and discussions and conversations that are already taking place at other tables. I don't want to create more tables. I wanted to engage him and his group at the tables that already exist. The PSEP, other, you know, the CRC, other areas where we already have that opportunity. The third thing he suggested was that we go to Georgetown, we go to Mary McCord, the woman who endorsed my ordinance, and work with her and her colleagues to see if there is another strategy to keep militia-type organizations out of our community. And Commissioner Fish was compelled by that, and he added it as an amendment to this ordinance, which I appreciated. And I think we should continue to take a good hard look at that strategy as well. So that was a little longer than I wanted to be. I apologize. I just wanted you to know that this is very important. I'm sorry, there's one more thing and then I promise I'll stop. Commissioner Fish said something that resonated with me, and that is telling Joey Gibson and the Proud Boys and others to stay home. I want to remind you all, I tried that strategy, and I honestly learned from that experience, because I heard from many people, including many people in this room right now, that that was unconstitutional. I asked the federal Homeland Security to cancel the parks permit for the Proud Boys in the days following the Max murders. And I wasn't saying stay out of Portland forever. I was just saying don't come this week when our community is angry and it's grieving and we have limited police to deal with what could be a potentially very, very ugly public safety situation. I thought it was a very reasonable approach to take, but I think something like 150 editorial boards around the country described me as an enemy of the First Amendment. The ACLU was profoundly upset with me. Others in this community, in this room, felt that I'd really stepped into it and overstepped my bounds as mayor by asking them not to come. Because after all, the First Amendment protects all speech, even reprehensible speech. So this ordinance was something else, new direction. I obviously vote aye. I support it. But I will continue to work with you and the chief and anybody else who has good ideas. As a community, we've got to come together and solve this problem. I vote aye, but the ordinance fails. Thank you.